Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
When I say, should we bring our swimsuits? You say, well, yeah, weather permitting.
With Dusty Hera.
I didn't get into college. Check me out. I'm kick-ass.
And Cam Cleland.
I almost joined a frat in college myself, but they tried to make me chug a 40.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Put my nuts on the table, and then I did the damn thing.
Good morning and happy Tuesday to you, the 15th day of the great month of May. How you doing, big fella?
What do you say?
Oh.
You gonna stay by the bay?
I just may. Maybe get some hay.
Dig some
I can
clay.
Make things out of clay.
Yeah. There you go. Happy Gilmore, end scene.
Yeah, I think we got the sequence wrong, but we got most of the
Green
rhymes right.
It's
jacket,
there.
Gold jacket.
Who gives a
bleep?
I believe that's Mr. Gilmore's.
Anyway.
Kids' top five movie. Love it.
Your kids love that movie? Yeah.
First PG-13 movie I was ever allowed to see.
Wait, really?
Yep.
Wow. That seems a little old, Buck.
I was 9.
You were 9 when Happy Gilmore came out?
I mean, we would have been 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are the same age. Happy even the wee Gilmore. And the wee-ish.
Yeah, but I mean, I saw... No, what? Buck, you were not 9 in 1996. You were 12.
I guess that's...
a slight difference.
Yeah, the math was wrong there. I was sheltered as a movie watcher growing up. Remember,
apparently.
I didn't see Scream either. I wasn't old enough for that.
My gosh. What did your parents
Scream
do
was
to
90,
you?
Scream was 98. You would have been... What? You would have been
14? It was rated R. I was 13, 14.
Buck and I had two different point. Upbringings. Scream also, 1996.
Okay.
Wow.
The first one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, uh-huh, that'd be the
yes,
first
yes, you're
one.
Right, 96. Okay, that's fair.
Buck and I had different upbringings. When I was 8, I saw Silence of the Lambs.
What?
Yeah.
8?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think that you, no wonder why you're a wackadoodle.
Yeah, that kind
you,
of
you want to have some fava beans and a nice Chianti?
Yep, it was a little
exactly
well done.
I'll never forget where it was
he
either.
He puts the lotion
on his skin
or she gets the hose again.
I'll never forget where I was when I saw it either. I was in Spokane.
Put the lotion in the basket. Good.
Yeah. I was in Spokane, Washington
mm-hmm.
with the Lewis and Clark College football team on a road trip when they were going to play Whitworth. And it was Friday night
mm-hmm.
before the game.
Yeah.
And I was in the hotel room. They had HBO.
You by yourself?
No, I was with my dad's players. Okay. They were like, you're good.
Oh, you with the guy. All right, that's understandable. You snuck in there with the players.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, and I believe my dad and the rest of the coaching staff were at Stockton's bar.
Mm.
John Stockton's dad owns a bar in Spokane. They all went out there. I was with the players watching Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't sleep that night. I mean, that's a lot for an 8-year-old to take.
That is a lot. I remember my first R-rated movie was Beverly Hills Cop.
That's a good one.
That
nice.
Was my first one. That was 1984, oh, so I was
in the tailpipe.
9 also.
Hmm. See, but that one's
nine,
not
ten,
scary.
10. I was 10.
You
ten.
Just heard F-bombs.
Yeah,
and...
I love that. I can quote that entire movie, and I think we watched it. It was over Christmas break, and my cousins got the DVD. They had they were rich. They had a VCR.
They had a VCR. They did not have a DVD. Maybe they would have had a laser disc.
no, they had a VCR, and we rented it. See, I didn't watch it in the theaters. We rented it.
See, that's great.
I got to watch it over and over and over and over again.
My first Perfect. Rated R movie was Speed with Keanu Reeves and Sandy Bullock.
Oh.
My gosh, Buck, no, your movie,
terrible.
Your upbringing sucked.
Terrible. The movies are terrible. You can't get a classic
well, I mean,
of Speed.
Speed's
Speed is not a classic.
It's an okay, it's but that should classic. Never be your first
no.
R-rated movie.
Well, how was I supposed to determine that at age, whatever, 15?
You know what my number two R-rated movie was? Hmm. Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds was my number one.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds was my number one.
We've got Bush.
Pan Town.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was number
one. That was interesting to grow up seeing that and going, wait a minute. This is interesting.
Yeah. As this texture points out, yes, hanging out in Spokane at age 8 is also traumatic. first one, Animal House. This guy's first R-rated movie, Animal House, when he was 7. See, that's such a... I bet you were...
a local classic.
I bet you
were stay with
a blast in college when you get prepped for that, you know? Like, that's the way he got, like, his first... He was like, that's what college is like? So from 7 on to 18, you had that in your mind. That's college. Here we go.
So it's a rite of passage. I need to make this... I don't know if I'm trying to think. I haven't done that yet. I haven't done... I need to do that. I need to figure out... Well, no, I already did. I snuck one by... my wife's not listening. I snuck one by the goalie.
Whoa.
Major League. I let the boys watch Major League.
See, that's a good one.
That's a good rite of passage one.
That's a very
good one. It is. I didn't want to go. I was like, if you're gonna go, we gotta go with the sports themed one. There's some language in that, but it's not over the top bad when it comes down. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's not even
God.
There's no up tops in there. Yeah. There's no pan downs in it. It's just baseball. It's guys being baseball.
Very colorful language in it though. You know?
All right.
That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, what am I going to do?
Earmuffs.
Can't avoid it all.
Earmuffs. Okay, here. Oh, mine was Porky's followed by 48 Hours when I was 11.
48 Hours, great flick. Porky's.
I mean, if you're a kid, though, Porky's is whoa.
Oh, you did everything you could to catch some up tops and do something down there.
Exactly. And then you find out, like, thinking back on that, that scene in Porky's, the shower scene there.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's the hole in the wall.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
What was that guy thinking when he decided to, you know, like who came up with that idea? Nobody thinks that that's a good idea.
That's not a good idea, but for a film, it is a good idea.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well.
Well, if we're going to go into first R's, first PG's, there's, you know, and here's the other thing too that's so different now is PG now.
Uh-huh.
Is not what PG was when I was growing up.
No.
PG-13 is certainly not even close to what PG-13 is now. And it's different. It's more of PG-13 now is you can have a billion guns and kill 1,000 people. Yeah. And it could be comic book related. And you're like, no problem. No big deal. But then if it's PG-13 in 1980, heaven forbid, it's Weird Science and someone puts a bra on their head and they talk about kissing. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Let's not watch that. That's too intimidating.
Well, you know,
we'll kill 1,000 people.
Well, there's a bunch
with
of
video
movies.
Games and pick your poison.
There's a lot of movies that are PG-13 that you sit there and you're like, how in the world did that movie just become PG-13? You know, like if you're thinking like the movie Taken or any of these horror movies like Insidious or I'm looking at Cloverfield. Like, these are movies that are The Ring. Have you ever seen The Ring?
I've never seen that. I'm not a horror movie guy. I like storied horror movies, not like fake characters. So Exorcist or something is something. I don't like the new, like Saw and all those things. Those don't interest me. I like some sort of classic old 80s type
thing. I'm looking at a list of movies that are rated PG-13 that should be rated R. Billy Madison is on there. Titanic is on here.
Why is Titanic rated R?
Boobs.
So?
Nudity
up top, yeah,
yeah. Ace Ventura,
rated R. What?
No, it's PG-13. Should be rated R. They're saying.
Really?
Yeah.
What's an Ace Ventura that should be? Is there
a lot of language? Maybe.
Yeah. He talks
innuendo.
Out the butt.
It's just innuendo.
No,
I think innuendo is fine. One of the things that I think is great is those like Pixar movies and such. Like, they have little jokes built in there for adults that the kids don't have any understanding of. And, like, kids will go back in the watch and be like, oh, wow.
That's pretty funny.
You know? Like, I think that that's nice when they slip in.
Despicable Me has that in there.
A lot of it. A
lot of that. A lot of innuendos.
Which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, you got to have something in for the adults. It's not just for the kids. I mean, we're going there.
P1 Daniel says Spaceballs was rated PG.
Oh, gosh, Spaceballs. I laughed. We must have sat on the every bus ride home for a month. We would quote Spaceballs and laugh our backsides off.
Yeah, the Spaceballs.
I see
is
your
a classic.
Schwartz is as big as mine.
You know me in Star Wars.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Never really sat through a whole Star Wars movie. I've just seen pieces of them.
But Spaceballs.
I love Spaceballs.
Calm the desert.
Man, never
we
seen
ain't
it.
Bound. What?
Yeah, you're
never
fired.
Seen it,
Buck.
You're fired,
Buck. Puck.
Oh, I knew you'd be disappointed.
The way they make fun of cultures and races.
But I wasn't a Star Wars guy growing up, so I didn't think it. I think it was funny.
Gosh, it is hysterical. Barf. Dark helmet.
Ludicrous speed.
Yeah.
We've hit plaid.
She's Druish. Oh. I'm going anywhere with my royal match luggage.
Okay, here we go now. Yeah. Buck, you've got a long ways to go. Remember,
you need to rent that. I mean, what else do you have to
do? I have Spaceballs. I'm bringing Spaceballs in for him.
Well, he doesn't even need to do it. He could probably rent it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on demand somewhere.
It just went off of Netflix. Like it was on Netflix for the longest time, and it just left Netflix in April. Oh. Yeah. So I'll bring it in. Where you rent it from?
Anywhere. You can go on your Apple. Do you probably have an Apple TV?
I'm sure it's on demand.
It's on demand anywhere. Just talk it. It's there. Okay,
Buck, that's your
Dusty's going to bring in a VHS assignment for this week.
No. It's a DVD. I got a DVD. When Blockbuster was going out of business.
Scratches everywhere on it.
Maybe. But when Blockbuster was going out of business, I got a bunch of DVDs for like a dollar. You get like five for a buck. Spaceballs was one of them.
I'm telling you, I still have like 500 DVDs I need.
Yeah, this texter says Dusty not seeing Star Wars is far worse than me not seeing Spaceballs.
Yeah, I know. No, I've been through it.
I will agree with that.
At least I've tried.
When's the last Star Wars? Name something in Star Wars that all of us will say, oh, he has watched the movie.
What?
Name a character in Star Wars.
Han Solo.
Outside of the main characters.
Chewbacca. Jar Jar Binks.
All right.
Princess Leia.
I don't count that one as much.
Pizza the Hutt.
Pizza the Hutt is in Spaceballs.
Oh, Jabba the Hutt.
Not bad.
How about that?
Okay. What is the name of the battle station that gets blown up?
Death Star.
All right. Okay. So you have a framework.
I have a frame of reference. Look, okay. I've tried to watch it. I just fall asleep.
Okay.
I fall asleep. It's just not for me. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Where was Luke born? What planet?
Krypton.
No. Tatooine. Keep working. We'll get there.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
All right, this date sports history, 1973. Nolan Ryan throws the first of his seven career no-hitters. The Ryan Express has got four more than any other pitcher in Major League Baseball history. Nolan Ryan, best pitcher ever?
Best pitcher
ever. Seven no-hitters.
I know Nolan Ryan threw the fast. Did you know that he recorded the fastest fastball ever? They're projecting 109 miles an hour.
Really? I mean, that's like, we don't know that for a fact.
Watch the documentary Fastball.
Well, I mean,
they have it.
We know that for a fact.
That's 109? Science.
Science. And you know what? Nolan Ryan was great because when he was running the show for the Rangers, remember? Mm-hmm. He was like, innings limits. We don't have those. Yeah, well, Nolan Ryan thought everybody was like him, which is a freak of nature.
Inning limits. I'm going to pitch till I'm 45. He literally threw his arm out. They walked out of the Kingdome because his arm was exploded.
He was also 45 years old or something.
But he actually tried to throw through his arm torn in half. He's like, oh, I could throw another pitch. He, like, dribbled it.
Got it. All right.
Kind of a tough guy.
Coming up on today's show, we've got what's next with the sports gambling and an update to what the state of Oregon's going to do. We've got the Panthers are going to go for sale today, and that is going to be final. And the top 25 in college football, the coaches are ranked. Where the Pac-12 falls in that one. But where we start, the Warriors flex their muscles in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. 6:14 on the Fan. Golden State Warriors flex their muscles in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, cruising at the end. 119-106. My goodness. When you're watching that game, did you think to yourself at all, the Blazers were the third best team in the regular season? Because watching those two teams, they are on different planets than anybody else in the Western Conference. And I sat there and I was going, man, bifurcating the regular season and the postseason is something that
is a popular word, young man.
Yeah.
Pretty popular word around these parts.
But the reason why we should not bifurcate them is because you sit there and you look at these two teams. they're the measuring stick. And everybody else playing for third, who cares if you took third in the regular season?
Yeah.
The Golden State Warriors are a machine mm-hmm. that we have not seen in the NBA since the mid-90s, mid to late 90s.
I haven't been this convinced that a team is above everybody else in the league since I watched the 96 Bulls and during that run of that dynasty. And I've been watching. I mean, even at the time when the Lakers were as good as they were with Shaq and Kobe, mm-hmm. the Spurs were right there with them in the dynasty world. I mean, you could see it was a battle of juggernauts. There is no juggernaut that cannot. They are everything to this league. They take advantage of every team's weakness. They play great defense. They have elite shooters. And Kevin Durant is 7'10", and he can shoot over everybody. Nobody. He has his jump shot is equivalent to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's skyhook. It is unblockable. Name the last time anybody's got a hand up, even Rudy Gobert at any point in time. There's nobody that can stop or defend Kevin Durant in the perimeter. You can't do it.
The old stifled tower can't even get a hand up there. He is impressive. And you have a multitude of unblockable shots in this series where James Harden's step back jumper is ridiculous. And I don't know how you get a hand on that. Kevin Durant, when he gets his knee up a la Dirk Nowitzki, and is kind of leaning back. It's not quite a fadeaway, but he's just kind of leaning back.
Even his front jump shot.
At 7 feet, you can't get a hand on that. And then Steph Curry, when he pulls up from the logo at center court, I mean, you can't defend that shot either. Yeah. And then Chris Paul, I mean, how many times did he have, a 7-footer on him? And he just sits there, crosses over, dribbles between the legs, boom. And then he hits a little fadeaway jumper. There's a lot of tough shots to defend in this series, but I look at Golden State and you just go, offensively, they're great. You've got that firepower with Steph, Clay, Durant, and Draymond. But defensively, man, that first half, they may have been trailing, but you sat there and you went, Houston was not getting easy looks. They were forcing them to go all the way down on the shot clock, and every shot was contested that Houston was taking. Like, you knew even early watching that game that Houston may have taken their punches, but Golden State was the one that was going
to
run away with
it. So I said yesterday, what was Houston going to be able to do to manage the defense and still have the production down the stretch into the fourth quarter? And it was right there. It was on display. You get to see it. I mean, there was no gas left in the tank down the stretch. And this is game one, mind you. I understand that guys are going to be able to dig deep and figure out how much they have left at the end of the game, or whether you're tanking towards the end or you're giving up. There was no give up by Houston. They looked tired. Their defense was terrible at the end, and it was because they were running so much and trying to compete with Golden State throughout the entire game, which they kept it close mm-hmm. midway through the third quarter, and there was always a chance in the fourth quarter. Then all of a sudden, it got to minute 7, and you saw separation. There's always going to be a separation because eventually they're going to run you off the court. Physically, you can't keep up with them.
Well, and also one way that I think Houston is going to be at a fault here, and we saw it in game one, is when James Harden and Chris Paul just start pounding the ball into the ground, and then they put up shots and they waste opportunities early in the game when they were making their runs, and when Kevin Durant went out near the end of the third quarter and Houston made their run, they do that. And it was the guy that I was talking about yesterday, Clint Capella. I mean, they were running him towards the rim. When they run an offense that is in the context of anything resembling an offense, even though it is up and down, they play at a frenetic pace, you see hero ball starts to take over with Harden and even Chris Paul, and that's where they end up stalling out. And that's what Golden State does to you, because when you're taking the ball out of the basket every single time, then you do start to panic and you try to take over the game yourselves instead of, what got them to a lead at the half, what got them making that run, bringing it back to, 4 points? They were down by 11. They close it to 4. And then all of a sudden, Durant comes back in, and you just pucker, man. And that is what great teams make you do, is pucker down the late stretches of games. And Golden State does it better than anybody.
I don't want to compare this team with the other ones in the past, so that's not fair. They're just a dynasty. They're that better, much better than everybody. 20 years ago, you got to see a great Bulls team, and then there was runs. This is their time, their window, and they're young. I mean, Steph is 30, 29, 28. The core of this team could be together for another 4 years if they wanted to. Financially, they could probably all just accept cuts to make it equal and say, we want to become the greatest basketball franchise in the modern era. And they will be because nobody, unless there's a super team out there that decides to join up and LeBron James joins Houston and then also gets Paul George to join Houston. I mean, there's no way that anybody's beating this team.
You know,
and we all know it. I mean, just look, there's nobody that can beat this team.
Well, and
in a series.
Mike D'Antoni summed it up perfectly last night after the performance of his star.
Is it discouraging to you to see James score 41 points and you still lose by double digits?
No, I'm going to just go talk to him. He needs to get about 55 next time. So, and that would take care of it. I'll just have to tell him that.
With that comment, does that just tell you that D'Antoni's system is not a playoff system, or is it just that those guys can't compete with the Golden State Warriors?
I think I read that.
Score 55, play more defense. I mean, does James Harden play defense? Did Chris Paul? Yeah, Chris Paul does. Clint Capella does. Ariza does. James Harden, you know, he's not there to play a lot of defense. He's there to put points.
I look at that and I go,
he's like, throw my hands up. What else do you want me to do?
Well, that's it. I mean, you saw the hero ball performance at the end of the game, and he's going, well, he needs 14 more. He needs 14 more points for them to be better. And he's right, because when you lose by 13, guess what? You need those 14
points. But isn't that his mentality, D'Antoni's mentality? Instead of saying we need to get 14 more stops, he's just like, well, we just outshoot him. No, you're not going to. Well, so is there any way the Houston Rockets can defend the Golden State Warriors any better than what they did last night? Is there any way that they can force them off some of the screens and how the slashes, the back cuts? Is there any way to stop Klay Thompson from taking one quick dribble and shot going, it went in again?
Yes, there is. There is, because they, what was it? Buck, you probably know this. What was it, midway through the fourth quarter? Was it that the Warriors were shooting 60% from the field? Or no, late in the third quarter. They were shooting 60% from the field in that game.
Yeah, the other thing I noticed is Klay Thompson after the game said it was more easy looks than he'd seen in pretty much any playoff game. And that's what you get when you have Curry and Durant out there doing their thing.
Well, and what is the deal with James Harden trying to D-up Kevin Durant? That's your answer? Mm-hmm. Is to put your worst defender on Kevin Durant?
Well, they didn't have any. They tried P.J. Tucker. They tried Chris Paul at one point. They tried Nene.
I'm talking first possession of the game. And Clint Capella came over and got a block at the rim. But first possession of the game, it was Harden on Durant. And you're going, good luck. Good luck.
Well, there's nobody that can defend him. I mean, there's name somebody that can defend Kevin Durant in the league. LeBron James? Probably.
Yeah,
LeBron
probably.
And Kawhi.
That's probably it.
Maybe Giannis, just because of the length.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, but it's not on the Houston's roster.
No, he's the best one-on-one scorer in the league, no question.
He'll shoot over anybody. Anybody.
Did you see that stat on isolations? He was 10 of 13. Didn't matter who you throw at him.
No.
He's going to win those one-on-one battles.
And then when Trevor Ariza, who's the guy you probably want on him the most, when he gets into early foul trouble, you're going downhill. And am I the only person that when Ariza picked up his fifth foul and he had to go out of the game, I was sitting there and they popped up the graphic of guys in foul trouble and had like Ariza with five. And then you saw Draymond and Iguodala each had three. I could have swore Draymond Green had like 18 fouls in that game. He almost got thrown out of the game in the first
67
quarter.
Seconds in.
I mean, I was sitting there going, what in the world is going on in this game? Ariza with five and those guys only got three.
What do we say yesterday, though? Scott Foster gives Draymond a little latitude. They might have been lucky that he didn't get tossed early in the game there.
Well, yeah.
Well, because it's the playoffs. You're not allowed to do that.
It was, 4 minutes?
Hey, they suspended him for game six against the Cavs.
Well, it was 4.5 minutes into the game, and he had another dust-up where he was dressing down the officials, and Steph Curry had to, like, shuffle on over and say, man, I'm sorry. Draymond just kind of go sit down, get away, because he just goes
he
in.
He can't keep his head.
My gosh. And that could be what happens, you know, is – that may bring Houston back into it, as if Draymond gets himself tossed.
Still, the Warriors are winning this in five. I'm sticking with my five. I think it's a gentleman's sweep. You might just snag one out of pure boredom.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. All right. 55305. That is the fan text line. 119-106. Warriors take game one. We'll have more on that series in the NBA playoffs coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. But coming up next, the big news of the day yesterday. We broke it during the show after the Supreme Court struck down the anti-gambling laws. What sports are going to be the most affected by the new gambling laws? 55305.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
249-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Fan text sign. Textual Relations. Let's get texty, folks. Yesterday, it was ruled by the Supreme Court that it is unconstitutional to have anti-sports gambling laws. I don't know how it's unconstitutional, but it is. And the Supreme Court ruled that state by state, we can start legalizing sports gambling. And of note, in the state of Oregon, apparently the Oregon Lottery is all over it. And they're already have been planning and trying to find ways to enhance their sports betting. We only used to have sports action, which was like parlays for the NFL. And it was like 18-team parlays that you'd have to do. But they're saying now they're going to kind of try and streamline it, and it's an extra revenue source for the state, so they're going to try and jump on board with it, which is good for us. But it's amazing to me to see how many leagues were ready for this ruling and how many weren't. When we see all of the releases, and the NBA seems like they had their ducks in a row, and Adam Silver has kind of been in support of this and saying, hey, if sports betting is going to happen, we might as well regulate it. Major League Baseball even is saying, hey, we want to make sure the integrity of our game is intact, but we're ready for it, and this is kind of how we go. The NFL and NCAA seemingly were caught with their pants around their shorts and are not ready for sports gambling to be legalized. Which sports do you think, though, are going to be the ones that are affected the most by the legalization of sports gambling?
I think them all. I can't differentiate. This is a difficult thing for me because I know – reports are there's $150 billion worth of gambling money out there last year, not just illegally, but collectively. If there are ways for the country and the government to be able to monetize it and find a way to tax it, that's really what this comes down to, is more ways for the government to be able to use state officials, local officials, county, city. If you can find ways to tax it, it's more revenue for the communities. And however you want to do it, if I spend $10 on a bet and $2 goes to my local city, I'm okay with that. I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, not going to throw a tantrum about it. It's part of the landscape of what we do. Our vices from alcohol is taxed. Our gasoline is taxed. Soon, as we see all these illicit drugs, as you see, they will be legalized and then they will be taxed. Right. Just like the two states that we are in border with the Columbia River, with Washington and Oregon. This is what's going to happen. So I have to ask this thing. You ask what sport it is, but how's it going to affect you as just the regular fan? Are you going to believe that sports are real now? I mean, are you not going to understand? Huh? Is this going to be real? When I watch this sport, are you going to say this is real, or is it rigged, or is there things underlined? There's juice on this game. Are you going to be interested more? I've never bet on sports games. Doesn't mean in the future now that I won't. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you that I'm against sports gambling. It's to each their own.
Yeah.
But if you told me that there are going to be more people that enjoy sports in their lives because they can put 10, 20 bucks before they head into the stadium, I don't have a problem with that.
See, and I don't know where the people are getting all bent out of shape about, oh, it's going to change it. People that bet already bet.
Yeah, they just do it illegally.
Instead of that money going to a bookie, though, and not being taxed on big winnings, it's now just going to go to, I don't know, paving your roads or funding your schools.
Yeah.
You know? And Mark Cuban, he said it yesterday in an interview with CNBC. He said every single owner of a professional sports team in the big four sports in America just saw their franchises double in value because of legalized sports gambling, because a cut's going to go to teams, a cut's going to go to, you know, players' unions and all this. And he's saying it doubles the value of our franchises. But when you're looking from a pure entertainment standpoint, you know, the prevailing thought is NFL is not going to be changed by this. Mm-mm. Because people already bet on NFL, daily fans, fantasy football. You have action on games coming in no matter what. Like, if you think that there's going to be integrity is going to be, you know, in tatters because of this and games are going to be rigged, they probably should have been, just as many will be now than there have been historically. Because, you know, the unscrupulous people out there that are going to be dealing in the shady area, they already have been. And if guys are going to be throwing games, they're going to be throwing games before it's legal or it's illegal. You know, like there's already been laws against it. So you're not, these games aren't going to be compromised by it. It's just that it's going to be legal action now and the government gets a take of it.
But we've always been told it's dirty. I mean, I walked into a locker room from when I first stepped on to the University of Washington to then into the NFL. There was a giant sign that said, do not bet on sports.
Yeah.
Told me it was wrong. Told me it was dirty. I mean, Pete Rose is not allowed to be in the Hall of Fame because of gambling. Now, is he now allowed to come back into the Hall of Fame now?
Baseball may be the sport that has changed the most by this. And he should be anyways. But well, yeah, this should probably change it too. It's legal.
There's too many things that you're going to take. It's going to take decades to change the thought process of a lot of guys at least my age or anybody that's like you and I to start to really come around to, oh, this is kind of the norm. It's kind of the norm. Although it was the norm that we talk about it, but it wasn't. It's one of the weirdest things in sports ever to sit there and go, hey, you're not supposed to do it, yet we pick games based on the lines, yet we do it.
We've been doing it since it's illegal anyways. I know. That's why it's like somebody's
favorite.
But
that's why
it's
weird. It is weird to sit there and say it's illegal, yet we've been talking about it and doing it for years.
Yeah.
It's very strange, I mean, but now it's just all out in the open and we can just move on.
Well, yeah, and people are going to have to get rid of the stigma that only bad people bet on games because that's just not true. I mean, when you look at it, you've been, if you play fantasy football, you've been gambling anyways. If you have a pot for the NCAA tournament, you've been gambling on things anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's the exact same thing is that when you're doing your research for the NCAA tournament, you're looking at, oh, what team is favored to win it? Well, guess where those lines come from? Like, and I don't think anything's going to be changing, but if you're looking at a sport that can benefit the most from it, it might be Major League Baseball. I'll tell you why next. 55305. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, 55305 is the Fan text line. Which sport do you think is going to be impacted the most by this? So this texter says, I think college football might be the sport that is impacted the most by it. I mean, if you think about it, people are going to start wondering who the bad man was showing up when his team was supposed to win by 15, but they only won by 13. Somebody handed a couple $1,000 to make the drop or the make the bad play in the game that cost them the 2 points to cover. And I just don't I don't know if that is going to be happening, but college football and college basketball may be changed by this because if you look at what the state of West Virginia is doing and what they're trying to do is they're trying to get part of these what they call integrity fees that come with every bet is going to kick money towards universities of what University of West Virginia and Marshall to help fund their athletic departments. And that could be another revenue stream to help kind of how do we pay student athletes? Well, the people that bet on the games may be it.
So you said Major League Baseball, so please tell us.
I think Major League Baseball will be because if you think of the one thing that people criticize the most is about baseball, oh, it's 162 games. You don't have to watch every game. People aren't really – it's not a game that holds your attention from first pitch to final out. Well, what gambling in the legalization of sports betting can do is keep people more engaged in this sport – for the 162-game regular season and throughout the course of a game where if you take the overs and unders in games and there's more action that's on the line there because people already bet big on basketball and football. We already know that. And hockey is still too niche. I think baseball can actually benefit from it, and plus you get rid of that negative stigma around like Pete Rose and his being banished from the game forever because of something that's illegal federally. Well,
in response to that, this texter says this doesn't change the thing for a thing of Pete Rose. Rules of baseball, yes, baseball. Mm-hmm. Prohibited players and managers from betting on the game. It's posted in every locker room. Mm-hmm. The penalty is banned for life. End of story.
Yeah, but we've heard Rob Manfred, he softened his stance on Pete Rose. I mean, he was not as hardline as Bud Selig was. Mm-hmm. And I think over time, as what you were saying, like, it's hard for you to get over the fact that all of a sudden, after you woke up yesterday and gambling wasn't legal, and then you went to bed and all of a sudden gambling is legal and it's fine. Like, once that gets out of people's head and people adjust to it and get used to it, mm-hmm. I think that eventually people are like, wait, Pete Rose was banned from baseball? I think we should let him back in. I think, but it'll take time. It's not like it shouldn't happen overnight.
I really do feel like this gambling is similar to the secondary ticket market and how it changed sports. When you saw stuff like Ticketmaster invented, I mean, before it was all about showing up to the game and just buying the tickets and then they mailed them to you, or you showed up to the stadium and you bought your tickets or you bought your season tickets. There was no secondary ticket market with a $40, $50 service fee on how you're doing. Whoever and whatever group, state. Now, you say West Virginia, but if we're going to use for the state of Oregon,
yeah.
Does the University of Oregon develop its own gambling site?
No.
To do that? I mean, but just hold on. I mean, think about this. I mean, I know it doesn't sound right, but does the state develop some sort of application that allows us to bet? So it funnels through the state first, and then the cuts get dispersed mm-hmm. to all the public entities later? Do they get dispersed to the Oregon states? Do they get dispersed mm-hmm. to... All these questions are going to be answered soon, but I guarantee you, like a Ticketmaster, there's going to be a .com that pops up and markets within the next 6 months that says, bet on any sports anywhere, anytime in our country, and pay a small fee. And where does it all go? That's what's going to happen. That's how we do it. It's about convenience for our fans and how they watch it and how they bet on it. This will happen. A .com will start just like anything, just like a GoFundMe does with raising money for people. We are all about convenience, speed, and where our money goes. And this is how it's going to change. You're going to get a chance to bet as you're walking into a stadium.
Yeah.
And will that make you more interested?
I think that's
great. Will it make you more interested? Will you be more engaged? Because how many times have I said, be more interested, fans? Pacific Northwest, care more. Well, you'll care more if you got a grand on the game, won't you? You won't go kayaking. You'll sit and watch that game.
Right. And I think that's kind of where it gets overblown is, like, there's this panic in the streets of, all these, what's going to happen here? It's all going to be regulated. And people aren't just going to overnight start betting a grand on a game. You know, it's not, the thing that's going to get people engaged is, having $2 bets on something that makes it a little bit more fun and is just like, hey, a little something extra here if they win. And those are the ones, like the high money bets and stuff, like that's going to, of course, those people are already gambling and betting. Like, but if you could put like $2 on it and make it just a little bit extra and have, a little something, the bet side bet with your buddy that you go to the game with, I think that's awesome.
But where does it stop, Dustin? Where does it stop? Where do prop bets stop? What happens if you have college prop bets?
Okay.
First pass thrown to X.
Already have that.
Oh, Justin Herbert throws the first pass to X.
Already happens.
Justin Herbert can control that. He could put a bet on that. He could end up go out and he could sit there and say.
No, you regulate that. I mean,
it sounds great to regulate it, but what's stopping that? What's stopping any of those things?
What's stopping it already?
There isn't. There's nothing. So now it's more.
Why are people panicking?
So it's not panicking. It's saying it's more transparent now, so it might seem more okay to adjust or throw a game. It comes in personal integrity now because you're the first one to tell you, anybody you ask, yeah. I mean, money rules the world. You'll do a lot for a little bit of extra cash.
I'm the first to tell people that?
Oh, I know you love money. You're the first one to tell me that. I mean, I know that.
When did I ever tell you that?
Buck, you've been here how long? How many times, every time we have like a money topic, he's the first one to go.
He's all about that $2,400 that he saved from Golden Nook Lending.
You're damn right.
Money, it's important. I understand that. I get it. It makes the world go round. But what will stop you? What will stop you as an athlete? Potentially, there's going to be some situations where you might be a little concerned. Was that real? Was that not fixed? Those questions are going to come up more now because it seems like it's okay and it's part of the norm.
I think people should take off the tinfoil hat because you've been living under a rock if you don't think that these bets and these types of things haven't been happening already. I mean, and we don't sit there and think everything's rigged.
I don't know 18-year-old to 22-year-old men that bet on sports. I don't. That go to the universities and play for the teams. I don't know any.
Well, and that won't.
That is a change, my man. That will be different than we've ever seen.
Look, there's guys that I mean, there's college kids that gamble.
I understand that, but do they gamble on their own games?
No, and that's why it'll be regulated.
How can you regulate it if I can create a burner account and create my own thing legally?
You can. Okay, so why wouldn't that stop guys from doing it already?
It doesn't. That's what I'm saying. But okay, now that
nothing's changed.
No, it's more transparent, so it seems like it's okay. When you say something's okay, it just means that more and more people will do it.
I heard an interesting take on Golic and Wingo this morning that it could actually help them prevent this because it'll be more regulated, because more people will be looking into it.
And that's a good point. And if it does, I'm all for that.
They can track the trends. They can see if, you know, you get an influx of money late on some sort of prop bet about who goes to the free throw line first or whatever. See who's putting that bet down and see how that gets paid off. And if you see these spikes, it's easier to find the violators.
I'd just like to build the tracking software that tracks down people right now. That's who's going
to
be
I'd like to know
that's
how we need to invest in the infrastructure of this industry, because
certainly.
It's going to be booming.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be.
It's the gold rush of today's world.
And there's a lot of avenue streams that, you know, the reason why Congress has gotten involved is because they can get a big chunk of this. And P1 Brian in Wilsonville made a good point on the text line saying that, you know, this is also a blow to organized crime, because if you look at who runs illegal sports books, who has for, better part of a century now, mm-hmm. organized crime has had a big hand in that. And the government regulating all of these things, bookies aren't going to be needed anymore. And so that money, I mean, it is a huge blow to them, and they're sitting there looking at the billions of dollars that can be raked in and, you know, skimming off the top of all of these bets that go is the government. They can benefit from it.
You do understand that anytime you create something legally, there's always going to be a group of somebody that finds to do it and skim it, like you say, and make it some sort of profitability for them illegally. No matter how many times we make something legally and say, oh, that's going to make it fair and legal, there's going to be a group. And I'm just looking at this fair, but it makes sense.
But those people have already existed. And those athletes that would do it in a legal website are doing it illegally already.
The best part about this is full transparency now, and it means more tax revenue for the state, cities, and governments. And that's a fantastic thing.
Yeah, I think it is as well. And, hey, sign me up as excited for this. And it seems like Oregon and the Oregon Lottery, they are full tilt boogie, let's do this thing, on finding ways to create and regulate sports gambling already. It is a state that has already been grandfathered in to the sports betting laws with our sports action. That went away in 2007 to bring NCAA tournaments here. Now that is possibly going to be coming back in a lot more as far as game-by-game action happens. Still in the infancy, but sports are going to be easy to put that action on your favorite team. All right, coming up next hour, we have got some NBA chatter, conference finals underway. Just how good Golden State is can be exemplified by one player. And we go off the rails a little bit. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.